Now, joining me on the virtual couch today is Dr. Rebecca Walker, who's a research fellow at Fitz University's African Center for Migration and Society. And while her work spans a number of issues around gender and health and migration, she is particularly focused on issues relating to human trafficking. And at present, she's particularly concerned about the high level of fake news circulating around that topic. We've asked her to chat to us today about what trafficking actually looks like in this country and why the heightened awareness caused by fake news actually can do more harm than good. Rebecca Walker, welcome to the show. Great to have you with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
It's really crucial to this conversation, I think, to have an understanding of what trafficking is and what it looks like in a South African context, and equally importantly, what it isn't. Is there any kind of accepted international definition that can help us here, Rebecca?
Yeah, there is. So internationally, we have what's called the Palermo Protocol, in which trafficking is defined by the UN. And there's kind of three basic elements that have to be in existence for there to be trafficking. So that's the person should have been moved by means of force or coercion and for the express purpose of being exploited. So that's the kind of internationally accepted definition. And then based on that and based on countries who signed up to that definition, countries then develop their own national laws around trafficking, of which South Africa also does have.
Okay, so what do our laws say to this issue? What do they speak to in terms of how we define it? Is it very much in line with that international acceptable one you've just mentioned?
Yeah, our law in South Africa, which was implemented in 2015, is very much aligned with the Palermo Protocol. And we developed it, you know, after pressure around trafficking fears in South Africa, which emerged particularly after the 2010 World Cup. Mm-hmm. It's a particularly strong law, and obviously it works in line with other laws that we have around protecting the rights of children, laws against smuggling, other laws. So we do have a strong law on trafficking in South Africa, but the trouble is that the context is so much more complicated than the actual law itself. And of course, even with... Sorry.
No, go. I was going to say, please elaborate.
Well, even with laws which seem quite simplistic and straightforward, you obviously have sort of varies on definitions. You have, you know, when you say exploitation has to be present, you know, what is exploitation? Different people define exploitation in different ways. But we also have to look at these kind of laws and these definitions within the context of the country. So in South Africa, of course, we're a country where, you know, migration is a part of everyday life, and it's also a very contentious issue, mm-hmm. particularly irregular migration, and that often gets very much entangled with the trafficking debate, but usually we don't actually separate child trafficking and say, okay, what is trafficking, what is smuggling, and what are the other issues that are taking place?
Why is it so important that we get clarity on that, Rebecca? Because maybe we need to talk about this at this point, what doesn't characterize, or what you wouldn't characterize as trafficking. For example, you've mentioned the word smuggling, and a lot of people think, maybe think of the American example of people being smuggled across the border from Mexico into the USA. That's not, strictly speaking, something you would define as trafficking, is it?
No. So, I mean, by law, smuggling is different. So smuggling is considered a crime against the state, whereas trafficking is a human rights violation, so against the person. Smuggling is the transportation of people across borders, but there's a level of agency there. So whether you have decided you need to cross and you can't find a way to cross, you know, through a legal channel, so you choose to go irregularly, or whether you sort of make an agreement with a trucker and somebody's going to get you across the border. That's smuggling, and that is prevalent, but it's prevalent because we have restricted migration so much, and we've made it so difficult for people to access documentation and to come in and out of the country in a safe legal way, that it's sort of people are forced into irregular modes of moving across borders. Mm-hmm. But it's very different to trafficking.
Now, Rebecca, this issue of people mischaracterizing it and spreading fake mm-hmm. news about trafficking is one that has been thrust into the headlines in the last month or two. We've seen police speaking out about it. We've seen NGOs speaking out about it, saying, please stop sharing the WhatsApp messages and the fake reports on Twitter and on Facebook about child kidnappings for trafficking purposes. Do we have any idea where the sudden upswell of these manufactured reports has come from, or what is playing into it?
I mean, this is nothing new in the sense that there's always, the trafficking sector has always been defined by unsubstantiated claims and kind of figures that are just used randomly without anybody providing a source. So if you look at a lot of the information that if you Google human trafficking in South Africa, you will find the most random numbers are about 1 million children being trafficked per year, 30,000 children, which are also used by government, incidentally. But what we sort of see from that is that there isn't a push to kind of actually look for where this data comes from and question it, because trafficking is such an emotive issue. Yeah. And because, you know, these images of children who have been gagged and bound and the fear that it instills. I mean, we know with social media and we know with the circulation of WhatsApp messages. And if you're a parent, you know, those messages that go around the schools about being vigilant and children being snatched. I mean, it plays straight into that kind of central fear that you have in terms of protecting your children. But the problem is that fear drives us off on a tangent where we don't actually step back and say, okay, so what are the risks that children are facing? You know, how prevalent is trafficking in relation to abuse against children, in relation to, you know, abductions or missing children, which may sometimes be trafficking, but unless they've been shown to be trafficking, it's unlikely that they are. And yet we make this very easy connection, which then also takes us off to another dangerous level, which is the assumption that trafficking is by foreign syndicates, which drives straight back into the xenophobia that exists in South Africa and the one, you know, wanting to blame foreigners for abducting children and missing children. And that's an incredibly dangerous path to go down, because we know the consequences of that kind of discussion.
Rebecca, I mean, I think just to be very, very clear, nobody is suggesting that trafficking is not an issue we need to concern ourselves with, or that it's not a very serious crime and a very serious violation of human rights. But you're making the point here that kind of feeding of public panic and of misinformation around who's behind trafficking is feeding into all kinds of other stereotypes and phobias and xenophobia, etc. Now, the big question is where that's coming from. I mean, this is not something that's unique to South Africa. The QAnon movement, the theories of what is going on in the United States, for example, are, you know, almost beggar belief when you read some of those concerns. Is there a correlation between what we're seeing happening here in South Africa and this kind of thing happening internationally?
Yeah, I mean, the QAnon one, I think, is a very good example of the politicization of trafficking and how, you know, this highly emotive issue is being used to justify certain agendas. So in the context of America, we saw it being used to sort of accuse the Democrats of being involved in this satanic abuse of children. And as I said, it grabs people's attention and it kind of storms away from us without us having evidence and really understanding what's happening. But it comes from this, you know, fear that people have, but it also is because trafficking is a, I don't want to say simple issue, but it's an issue that we can all get on board. You know, if we are told that everybody is at risk of trafficking, then it's something we can all get behind and, you know, spread information, awareness, we can join campaigns. But actually, when we move a step further and we say, okay, let's put trafficking within the context of other issues happening in South Africa, and to go back to your point that no one is saying trafficking is not a serious issue, it's an absolutely serious issue. And the problem is that often those of us who are questioning the data get accused of saying that trafficking is not existing or underestimating the numbers. And we're questioning data not to say it's not an issue, but to say actually it's one part of a much bigger picture. And if we take our eyes off that bigger picture, for example, if we teach children to only be scared of being grabbed outside school, instead of sort of questioning the motives of, say, their swim coach or their neighbor or, you know, someone closer to home, of which the research shows that children are far more at risk of, then we're actually putting ourselves in a very dangerous position where we're actually talking about something that isn't grounded in evidence, isn't grounded in reality, but is something that we can all get involved in a kind of moral panic about. Mm.
Rebecca, I mean, the solution to cut through the noise is to have great readily available confirmed data. It sounds like that's a challenge in the current context. Is anybody working on collecting more accurate, up-to-date data?
Yeah, I mean, we do. We have data, but obviously with trafficking being sort of, you know, a hidden crime by its very nature, and by the fact that, you know, it's very difficult to say, do research on trafficking, the figures that we have obviously are probably a fraction of what's going on. And we can't just take them with a pinch of salt. You know, data tells its own story. So, you know, the most common database that people refer to is the U.S. Trafficking in Persons report that they bring out annually by the U.S. State Department. So the latest one for South Africa in 2020 noted that there were 72 traffickers prosecuted. The Hawks had investigated 24 cases and 377 victims, of which 238 of those were men, and most were for enforced labor, which is another issue, because when we think of trafficking, we immediately think of women and children and sex exploitation. So we have data, but that data needs to be placed in a bigger context. And the problem is, what we do with that data is we say, okay, we can't trust the data, so then we jump to these big figures and these big claims. But there's a risk in doing that, because then, as I was saying, we kind of ignore the other issues going on. And I was involved in a recent study with the Center for Child Law looking at child trafficking within a context of child migration. And we went up to the border areas and spoke with unaccompanied child migrants, spoke with agencies and police dealing with migrants crossing borders there. And overwhelmingly, the key issue they brought up was the challenges of accessing documentation, which leave children at risk and incidentally leave them at risk of issues such as trafficking. So they very much put migration at the center of this, and our need to actually talk about, you know, migration in terms of allowing people to access documentation, allowing people to cross safely in and out of South Africa, and you know, shifting away from this very anti-migration agenda, which actually makes people less safe.
Rebecca, the takeaway for our audience, to bring it back to the fake news agenda and, and trying to just remove that from the picture and take away that sort of inflammatory factor, what's your advice to listeners on how they engage with and interrogate and share news around trafficking?
Yeah, I think my advice is, obviously, we must all be aware trafficking is a risk, and it does exist. But when your center message is about trafficking, question the source, ask where it's come from before you send it on. Ask where this data is coming from. Look for statistics. And when you go onto the internet, you want to find information about trafficking, look to the research centers, like the center where I am at with the African Center for Migration and Society, where there's some really strong research done on the ground with migrants and around these issues that can actually give us a more realistic picture of what's happening. So be aware, but also be very cautious and sensitive when sharing this information, and think about what is being caused and what could be ignored if we just share it without questioning it.
Rebecca Walker, it strikes me that those are rules of engagement for all topics, not just the issue of trafficking and migration. But thank you very much for a fascinating insight into the issue. Rebecca is a research fellow at Fitz University's African Center for Migration and Society.